WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And hello, everyone, to a new episode of 3-Point Conversion, one that is going to be packed with a lot to talk about. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Kiel, joined by
Adam Hambright.
And I guess let's get straight into it. Let's not dial around. So let's talk about the XFL Week 8. We saw some important stuff happen. Let's start off with, of course, Vegas at St. Louis.
Yeah, first game of the week. First overtime game in the new XFL. It was a really good game. The only thing about this one that we really didn't really see coming in, A.J. McCarron hurt, was not able to play. Might have been why the game was so close to begin with,
right,
with Vipers only having 2 wins on the season. But first, this game was the third highest attendance in the XFL this season.
Right.
They had 35,167. The other two are both at St. Louis, both, you know, in St. Louis, which they have a very passionate football fan base. You know, the void was left when the Rams went back to Los Angeles. They were ready for some football. They have shown it with week four, the highest attended game, which was 38,310. The second highest was the very next week with 35,868. This one, 35,167. So while the ratings on TV might not be the best for the XFL, people are showing up to at least the St. Louis games.
Yeah.
Now, you get into the game. A.J. McCarron hurt. We're still waiting to see how long he's going to be out. We don't really know yet. But ended up going into overtime. St. Louis Battlehawks won 21-17 in Battlehawks for quarterback in place of A.J. McCarron. Nick Tiano, 19 of 34, 194 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Not the best, but, you know, he got the job done. You know, still almost 200 yards passing is pretty good, especially when it's like your first, you know, real action in there.
Yeah. I mean, St. Louis definitely did show out because Vegas was surprisingly better than, you know, they have any right to be during this game. And I think it kind of just goes to show, like, how they were they're willing to play spoilers, which I think is very interesting, which I think is going to play into this upcoming week. And then week 10, it looks like week 10 is not going to be anything important, but there's one game in week 9 we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's going to be very important.
Yeah,
so
definitely. And this one, you know, we talked about it before early in the season with St. Louis. They seemed that they had kind of found it to where they could get out to a hot start. Now, if the AJ was down, they were down 11-0 in the second quarter before they started coming back. And then it was 8-0 or 11-0. Then it was, I believe, 17-8 or something. It was either 17-8 or 17-11. Anyway, they had to come back, force overtime. They won 21-17. You know, they're still right now, I think they are number two in the North right there. They should make the playoffs depending on some other stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Vegas. I know Orlando's out. I think Vegas has now – yeah, Vegas has been eliminated.
Yeah.
They've been eliminated. Orlando, they've also been eliminated with their loss that we'll get into in a second.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go and get into that. Arlington barely sneaks by Orlando. It's literally 2 points.
Yeah, so, you know, last week we talked about Orlando. You know, they hadn't won a game. D.C., they played them. D.C. was undefeated. They beat D.C. Huge upset, possibly game of the year. Mm-hmm. At least at that point, definitely up there. Now, this week, every single game, very competitive. And, you know, this was definitely the best week overall for games. Every game was close, 2 overtime games. And then Orlando, now that they are eliminated with this loss, but you can kind of see how as the season has went on and as these players have gotten more comfortable playing the game again and playing with these teams, I mean, you know, learning the playbook, which at this point you should have learned it, you know, weeks ago. But all the game product has gotten better. I don't know if the watchability is going to improve. I mean, if it's a good game, you're going to be able to watch it, but I don't know if it's really pulling the fans back in if they just look at it and they see, oh, well, the games are getting closer now. Maybe I'll tune in. We'll see. But Orlando really needed this win. It didn't happen. Arlington wins it 18-16. You know, they had Luis Perez finally getting some action. 16 of 25, 190 yards. Did not throw for a touchdown. But then for the Guardians, Quentin Dormandy played extremely, you know, okay, I can't really say He was 28 of 43. Yeah. Okay, not the best completion percentage, but he did have 303 yards. He gave Orlando a chance. He did have the two interceptions, but throwing for 303 yards and losing, that's kind of...
Yeah, that's not rough. Great.
Now, once again, he was also the leading rusher with 5 carries for 17 yards. He was trying to put the team on his back. Didn't work out. This week, obviously, he is the only quarterback to have beaten DC so far. But, yeah, he... Maybe if he didn't throw a couple of interceptions, they win. But, you know, got to give it to Arlington, you know, finding a way to win, keep those playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, it's something that you kind of look at and you're like, man, things were a little different. You see a lot of changes. But, again, just the rest of these games, how close they were this entire weekend. Houston wins another 2-point difference game against San Antonio in San Antonio, basically sealing the South for Houston. So that is basically Houston's division. The question is now, with how poor Houston has been over these past few weeks, they're now 5-3. The South division looks extremely weak. I think, again, you lose such a close game to San Antonio, who's 2-6. The question is really now, can Houston kind of potentially keep this up where they're winning these close games and maybe they do okay in the playoffs? Or at least it looks like maybe even the finals.
Yeah, so right now, you know, they won the game. They clinched their spot in the playoffs. In this game, Brandon Silver, 17 of 36, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And this has kind of been a theme for them. They've, you know, regressed significantly from earlier in the year when they were – them and D.C. were the last two undefeated teams. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a good thing that Houston got this win to get some confidence back, but – if we're looking at it, once they get in the playoffs, does anybody really think this Houston team is going to beat D.C., is going to beat St. Louis? Maybe St. Louis if A.J. McCarron's not healthy by then.
Right.
But if Seattle sneaks in, are they going to be able to beat Seattle?
Right.
Right now, it looks like whoever comes out of the North for the championship can win. I mean, they can win these next couple of games. They could win that first playoff game, probably against Arlington. I think that's you know who everybody thinks is going to be at this point. But can they win against whoever comes out of the North? And right now, I don't think so. We'll have to see how it ends up going out, but they have got to improve. And, you know their defense, you know, they played good in this game, you know, holding San Antonio to 15 points, but gave up 9 points in the fourth quarter. Let's look at San Antonio's performance overall. Jack Cohn, 23 of 41, 190 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. They actually... San Antonio finally almost having a 100-yard rusher, 16 carries, 96 yards from Jaquez Patrick. You know, San Antonio probably should have won this game. You know, they make the comeback. They force overtime. It was at home. They kind of wish they had won this one. But
yeah.
I think Houston is okay right now. I think they're going to do fine the rest of the season. But it's kind of daunting looking at who they might have to play in the championship.
Yeah. And now, speaking of the championship, of course, it was announced that that will be played in San Antonio. It's going to be a neutral site game. So I think now kind of the point is we don't know exactly where the semis are going to be. So that's probably going to be home.
Yeah.
But I guess now the idea is who's going to come to this championship game. If it's going to be, okay, Houston looks like they're probably going to be in, so we're going to at least see one Texas team. But, you know, with D.C., they have a passionate fan base. With St. Louis, passionate fan base. Seattle, they have fans at least.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm interested to kind of see what happens.
Yeah, I think we can hope that St. Louis kind of just runs the table the rest of the year, gets past D.C. so they can host. I think that would be the best, you know, overall if we're just talking about getting fans in there. Yeah. D.C., you know, they're still going to have it, but, you know, St. Louis already has 3 highest attended games.
Yeah.
If we're not going to get people to watch them on TV, we got to at least get them in the seats. Yeah. So.
Well, that's the thing, though, with the neutral site game for the championship, that's the one thing.
Yeah, the championship, that'll be a little difficult. Maybe, you know, if, I don't know, D.C. or Seattle, that's kind of a trip.
Yeah.
St. Louis is closer. Maybe their fans will travel.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the people in Texas, even if their team's not making it, they're at least trying to go see a championship game. But we'll see.
It would be interesting. And then finally, I guess, last game, D.C. at Seattle. D.C. squeaks by in the closest margins.
Yeah, so this You know, last week, D.C., Orlando, possibly the best game of the season.
Yeah.
Until this week, this game, I think, by far, best game so far, like, overall. You know, D.C. had a significant lead. They went up 16-0. It looked like they were kind of going to run away with it. Seattle fights back. D.C. wins 34-33. Seattle actually had a chance to win it at the end. Went for two. Didn't work out. That was finally DC. So DC, after the defense played good in the first quarter, not so well the rest of the game, and then on the last two plays, really, that defensive line really showed out. You know, not giving Ben DiNucci any time to think, any time to react, ended up forcing the stop on the 2-point conversion, and then on the 4th-and-15 conversion of their onside kick. You know, just making him run around for his life. It was impressive the way that the defensive line was able to step up at that point. Now, overall, Jordan Ta'amu, 17 of 26, 247 yards, 4 touchdown passes. He played extremely well. Derek King did get in a couple times. He did have a fumble. Very unfortunate. Kind of helped Seattle get back into it a little bit. Chris Blair receiving 5 catches for 148 yards for the defenders. That is... You know, that might be better than what Josh Gordon was doing earlier in the year for the Sea Dragons. Yeah. Now, for Seattle, Ben DiNucci, 28 of 42, 301 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. This is the interesting thing. 2 quarterbacks this week, over 300 yards passing. Both of them lose.
Yeah.
it's insane. But, yeah, then he was also their leading rusher, 4 carries for 23 yards. Maybe if Seattle had some form of a running game. They did try it. Phillip Lindsay, first game in Seattle.
Yeah.
8 carries, 23 yards. Not the best, but he did have a touchdown. So there was that. And then Juwan Green, 7 catches for 142 yards. Josh Gordon, I think now everybody's kind of keying on him, not really wanting him to burn him because he is kind of – I'm not going to say regret. His numbers have definitely went down.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely like a peak and then boom.
And how much of that is him just not being used to playing football, and how much is that it's the defense just being like, we're not letting Josh Gordon.
Or it could also be some green.
Yeah, that too. I'm not going to make any accusations, but in this game he had 4 catches for 39 yards.
Yeah.
Not the best. But anyway, Seattle almost had the chance to win. They lose. Now they... They really got to win like these last couple weeks to get in the playoffs. Because right now, DC, they clinched their playoff spot. They're at 7-1. St. Louis, they are at 6-2. Seattle, after the 5-game winning streak, now they lose. They're at 5-3. And I think right now we're kind of hoping the XFL will just be like, you know, we're going to change our playoff format and just let the top 4 teams in.
But it's going to be interesting because guess what? Next week's Seattle at St. Louis game is basically a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's going to have a lot of implications. And so I think that's probably, even though we're not doing previews right at the moment, that's probably going to be a kind of a game of the week, kind of looking at that.
Yeah, that's definitely the one you want to tune into.
Mm. Now, it's finally time. It's been so long. The USFL, they are kicking off. Very exciting. I basically have the schedule memorized because... I've been looking at it like, come on, it's soon. But the one thing I'm a little disappointed in, Birmingham does not get the kickoff game this year. Instead, Philly is traveling to Memphis, which looks like that's going to be an insanely packed game. The tickets are absolutely selling like crazy.
Yeah.
So that is something that I am excited to see how that's going to look.
Yeah, so... I was kind of hoping Birmingham would have the kickoff game just because they had the whole season last year. But this might have been the USFL trying to kind of show, like, hey, we're in new cities now. You know, we're in different places. Now, I'm really excited for this weekend. We have the first odds for who's going to win a championship. And right now, Birmingham, you know, they won it last year. They went 9-1.
Have a lot of returning players.
So they have the best odds. They're at plus 250 right now.
Ooh.
New Jersey.
It's gone up since yesterday.
Yeah. So New Jersey, they're at plus 325. Philadelphia at plus 500. New Orleans at plus 600. And Michigan at plus 700.
Hmm.
Now, I'm going for the Stallions. I think they're gonna repeat. We'll see how it goes. They did pick up a very
controversial
in the area, but a very good pick, I think, for them. Thaddeus Moss. And I think it's safe to assume whoever is running the Stallions social media does not like the University of Alabama.
They have multiple times. Monday they posted this thing. Tuesday they posted this thing. We're having PTSD right now because we've watched this game. The toe-tapping touchdown against Alabama, the game of the century.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's a catch, but, you know, we're not going to. We're talking about the USFL.
We're very excited for this pickup because, again, for Birmingham, they had cut actually another tight end, Kerry Agilene. You might have heard of him. Yep. Very good tight end. People were very shocked with the cut. And then you see this name come in. I mean, that's still a big pickup for the Stallions.
That's kind of like, what do you do? And then it's like, okay, that makes sense. I'll take it, you know. And then, obviously, so that first game, Philadelphia is going to start off the season taking on Memphis. Philadelphia, the second best odds. Are we thinking that they're, you know, we really need to see a couple of games to really get a sense of these teams. But, you know, they're saying that they're going to be the second best team on the road at Memphis. If it's as sold out as what we think it's going to be, if people are actually buying these tickets and actually showing up to the games, it could be, you know, it could be a tough atmosphere to play in, and Memphis could get that opening week win.
Yeah, I'm very interested in how this game is going to go because you have Philly, who has some of the best, who's basically, I think, probably the second best team. They have Case Cookus, they have other great talent, and just so like they have an amazing locker room who made an amazing comeback last year, nearly won a championship. When they were basically down and out of the count. Now you have Memphis, who's made a lot of cool signings, especially the Mitchell signing, a great wide receiver. They're bringing Brady Wright, of course, Memphis Tigers legend.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing in the Liberty Bowl. And that's going to be a tough atmosphere starting to look like on Saturday. So right now, I'm going with paper. I'm saying the Stars. But I think those other factors could possibly lead to a Memphis win. But I got to go with paper right now. We haven't seen these teams play. I got to go Philadelphia.
Yeah, you go with paper. I'm just going to go with strict feel. And I'm just going to say Memphis, the home field advantage. Yeah, we'll see how much it actually plays into once the game starts. Because, you know, I think a lot of the people are really excited. You know, a year or two, like obviously we've been talking about the XFL, we've been talking about how the ratings have went down, you know, throughout the season. This USFL, successful first year, they have a year or two, they're in more cities. A lot of these people might have been watching the games on TV. I mean, Memphis, they might have been able to make the trip down to Birmingham.
Right. Well, of course, Memphis wasn't in the league last year, it was Tampa Bay then.
Yeah, that's a mistake by me, but, you know. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of these people that might have been able to make the trip from these other surrounding cities, now they actually might have a chance to be at these games in person. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with the home field advantage.
I think we got to disagree there. But then we have the primetime game. Both of these on Fox, by the way. Philly at Memphis starts at 3:30, I believe. Yeah, 3:30. And then you have at 6:30, New Jersey at Birmingham. New Jersey, interesting team, of course. They were kind of like the regular season North champions. Playoffs, they lose to Philly in kind of dramatic fashion. They have some returning people. Luis Perez is kind of the biggest loss. He's now with Arlington in the XFL. You have DJ now coming in from New Jersey. Looks like he's the starter. Birmingham, of course. I mean, you have Jamar, Bo, like we talked about, Moss now, JoJo Tillery. Scooby Wright, just like, again, all these names who were big last year for the USFL in Birmingham, they're coming back.
Yeah, pretty much everybody coming back for this team. And then, you know, you have the pickup of Thaddeus Mahomes and everything. This team, like you were talking about with, you know, Philadelphia, on paper, they look like the second best team. On paper, Birmingham looks like the best team. They're the defending champions. I think a lot of people are ready for this. You know, back in Birmingham, I'm not saying, I mean, I don't even think it has the capacity. I'm not saying they're going to have St. Louis Battlehawks attendance.
It looks like they are tarping off the upper section. They're just using lower bowl, but that's a very similar attendance.
Yeah, we're going to have, you know, it's going to be a packed out crowd. I think Birmingham's going to show why they are favored to win a championship. I don't really think, we really need to see a couple of games before making any huge score predictions, but my feeling just going into the game is Birmingham's going to make a statement week one.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I think it's a Birmingham win. I think New Jersey's going to keep it close.
Okay.
But I think Birmingham wins. So let's move on to our next game. an interesting game, I think, from both perspectives. You have two new coaches. You have two kind of new rosters. And now we're, again, these are going to be kind of the first of the, they're not home, but it's neutral sites for them this season. Michigan, not Michigan. They're actually going to be having a home. But still, Michigan at Houston in Memphis. This is going to be an early ABC game. This and the other game, I'm very interested to see how these kind of play out.
Yeah, so with these, you know, the home teams in this game, so this is, you know, where each like home stadium has like two teams this right. year and everything. So like Houston has a home game in Memphis, and then New Orleans has a home game in Birmingham. Now that's, you know, I think the Houston to Memphis is a little bit farther.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm feeling Michigan in this one, you know, just because I don't know how many people are actually going to show up to these games, because it's, you know, like last year, right? People were showing up for the Birmingham games. Some of the other games, they had, like, decent crowds, but it was like, you know, if it was Michigan and Houston, you're not having everybody in Birmingham mm-hmm. come out to the game.
Yeah.
So now it's in Memphis. I kind of see the same thing. You know, everybody's going to get up for that first game with Memphis, first game in that in that stadium, in the city. You know, that's going to be everybody's going to want to go to that game. How many people come out to show up for Houston and Michigan? We'll see. I'm feeling Michigan, but we'll see.
Now, let me say also, again, if you happen to have season tickets, you can go to the other team's home games that they share the hub with. So you might have some people just, you know, Sunday. It's a Sunday morning. If they happen to live nearby, they might just walk on over, go watch the game. But
it's a Sunday, 11 a.m. local time. How many people are going to be at church? How many people want to go watch football?
Yeah. I think there's actually going to be quite a bit to want to go watch.
We might.
Yeah, but I got to agree with you. I think it's Michigan. I think they're a team I want to watch in the North, because they seem to be they were a team that took the idea of we're going to have that Detroit fan base serious, and they went in and they rebuilt that roster basically from the ground up.
Yep.
And I'm intrigued by this team, so I'm taking Michigan. I think it's going to be – I'm not going to say blowout, but I think it's going to be a definitive statement.
Yeah. We'll have a much better look, you know, after this first week of games. And maybe even – we might even have to wait a couple weeks to really get a feel. I mean, you know, there's teams in other leagues, you know, you don't really know until halfway through the season how good they're going to be. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. And then that last game Sunday, Pittsburgh and New Orleans.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Pittsburgh, how are they going to react after an awful season last year? And then New Orleans – you have a new coach, some of your team left, and then now they're coming in. Because that's kind of like, if there's like one, I don't know, these all seem like good games. Like, they all seem like good matchups, and I'm just intrigued with this.
I think it'll be a competitive week one. Now that Pittsburgh-New Orleans game in Birmingham, like we were saying, you know, you can go to the game if you have the season tickets. We'll see what's going to happen. If you are in New Orleans listening, you can buy a very cheap train ticket from New Orleans to Birmingham. It's like $25.
Yeah.
That's the last thing, there. And so $50 round trip. So if you want to make the trip up, watch your team, go see them. Yeah. Now, Pittsburgh, they were terrible last year.
But they're also another team that really rebuilt.
They did. I'm not sold on them yet. We'll see. Mm. They did rebrand. And then they picked up, you know, a couple of good players in the offseason. Now, I believe it was them. Tell me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it them that had the whole thing where the person got, like, kicked off because they didn't want to eat a certain food?
So, yes, that was non-DC Pizzagate.
Yeah.
However, Kirby is gone.
Yeah.
They now, of course, have Pittsburgh legend Ray Horton in for coaching. So that's something that should be noted.
So we got new coaching staff, maybe a little bit better, you know, environment around the team. I would like Pittsburgh to do good. I don't know if I've really appreciated them going with every other Pittsburgh color, like last year. You know, they were different. Right. They had, you know, it was like purple.
Well, here's the thing. Pittsburgh is so weird about their team colors. It has to be black and yellow. Like, you should have seen the amount of Twitter comments complaining about it being purple and orange.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but, you know. Now they're like every other team. I was kind of hoping for a little bit different look from them to keep going. But, you know, we'll see. But in this game specifically, right now, until I see otherwise, I'm going to go with whoever's going against Pittsburgh. So I'm going to go with New Orleans in this game. Maybe Pittsburgh comes out, they show everybody that they're not going to be the laughingstock of the league again. But we'll see.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up with looking at the XFL Week 9. We're going to have to see playoff clinching happen. So let's start off Vegas at Houston.
So with Houston, I'm going to go with Houston. I'm going to say that off the bat. Now, Vegas has been playing better. This past week, they did not have to go up against the best St. Louis team. You know, they didn't have their starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Houston. Even though Houston has clinched, I'm hoping that the team, you know, still sees, like, hey, we need to win these last couple of games because, like you were saying, we don't really know exactly how those semifinal games are going to be. But if it's going to be a home game, Houston wants that game at home. Mm-hmm. They need it. They need to keep winning. So I'm going to go with Houston. Hopefully they don't get sucked into the, oh, we're already in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm going to take Houston on this one. It's Vegas. So, yeah. All right. Another kind of – we know this one. Orlando at San Antonio. Orlando has been kind of – of course, they had that win against D.C., but I think San Antonio is looking to potentially maybe keep themselves in somehow in the playoffs. So I think San Antonio is going to win this game.
Yeah, they have more to play for, right? They have to win this game to stay alive. Arlington's at 4-4. San Antonio has to win out, and then they have to get a little bit of help. That being said, Orlando has played a lot better.
And also, Arlington is playing a tough team, so something else to look at.
Yeah, so if San Antonio, okay, I'll pick San Antonio in the Orlando game just because they have more to play for.
Right.
Now, we go into that Arlington at D.C. If San Antonio is able to win, they keep their playoff hopes alive. Arlington needs to win to kind of, you know, secure that playoff spot, but they're at D.C. Right now, D.C.'s, you know, they've clinched playoff spot as well. Do they fall into the, you know, we don't need to win because we're already in the playoffs? Now, I think DC's just too talented at this point. I think they're going to win, but what do you think about it?
I got to go with a DC win. I think Arlington is going to have to take this L. I think they're going to – it's basically going to kind of come down to – now, here's the thing. If you look at Week 10, guess who San Antonio is playing? DC.
Yeah, so – it's going to be a very interesting last couple of weeks.
Yeah, for that final South playoff spot. I'm going to go with D.C. I just have to take it. My gut says D.C. all the way. So
yeah.
All right, and then our final game, basically a playoff game already. Seattle at St. Louis. This is probably going to determine the last North playoff spot. This is going to be a tough game, I think.
Yeah, extremely tough with this one. I still need to know who is going to be at quarterback for St. Louis. If it is not A.J. McCarron, I think Seattle's going to win this game. Now, St. Louis has the best home field advantage. They might get another 30-plus thousand attendance. But
they nearly lost to Vegas.
Yeah. So if we find out that A.J. McCarron comes back and he's going to start, I might change my mind during the week. But right now, I'm going with Seattle.
Yeah.
I think with the way that they've been playing, if St. Louis is not at 100%, Seattle is going to win that game.
I got to agree. I mean, that's I feel bad for St. Louis fans kind of saying this, but, man, I got to go with Seattle. It feels like they're a team that they just kind of grind their way to wins. And I feel like that's going to stay the same.
Yeah, the last time they played, St. Louis won 20-18 in Seattle. That was back on February 23rd. Mm. So that was with a full, healthy St. Louis team with this one. Now, maybe the crowd just wills the team to victory. We'll see. But right now, I do not have any word on if AJ is going to be available.
Yeah. I think that's going to be something we kind of see basically on game day.
Probably.
Which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of 3-Point Conversion. An exciting week. This is the first time ever that we've seen two spring leagues play at the same time. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be interesting because the Vegas-Houston game, that's on ABC. That starts before. So basically, you can go from ABC to Fox and stay on Fox or go to ESPN if you don't. Yeah, if you want to go watch Orlando, San Antonio, which is to each their own, I guess.
So next week, we didn't really talk about it this week with the ratings-wise, but like next week, we're going to really bring out the ratings to kind of show you how many people are just tuning out the XFL and just hopping straight over to the USFL.
So just to kind of show you, the XFL did have their first 1 million game,
okay,
but guess what channel it was? It's pretty easy once you look at the channel list.
Let's see. So this past week, ESPN teams.
Which one's over the air?
Well, see. man. So we got ESPN, ESPN, ABC, and ESPN.
It was ABC.
Okay.
So yeah. Again, the channel that you can get for free.
Yeah. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
At least it was a competitive game. It was the Houston-San Antonio.
And that, and here's the thing, though. That barely squeaked over a million.
Yeah. So this week, a lot more things you could be watching. So yeah. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, that's the thing. So just something to kind of look at. And I guess next week, I'm not going to say the skies are going to be falling if one is worse than the other. But like if we, when you look at week 10 for the XFL and week 2 for the USFL, that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. If it comes out that basically nobody's watching it, I mean, there's been weeks when it's looked like nobody's been watching the XFL, but like if it's significantly lower than what it has been, do they change their model? Like, do they go with maybe trying to make it to where they don't overlap at all?
Yeah. You know? But that means, though, you basically start January 1st.
Yeah. And then you're running into NFL playoffs and
that means weekday games,
college football, national championship. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening.
A lot of stuff to look at as we come to the start and also somewhat the end of spring football season. I've of course been your host Carson Keel, joined by
Adam Hambright,
and we'll see you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.